On the 8th of December 2024, Syria's former dictator Bashar al-Assad fled the country after the capital was captured by rebel forces. It marked the end of more than five decades of the Assad family's brutal regime, including Syria's bloody civil war in which hundreds of thousands of people were killed and millions more displaced. 1 year on, more than a million people have returned to Syria, where the new government says it's focused on efforts to rebuild the country. But the situation remains fragile. Hussein Ibish is a senior resident scholar at the Arab States Institute, and he joins us on Radio National Breakfast. Hussein, thanks for being with us.
Very good to be with you. Thank you.
Immediately after the fall of the Assad regime, there was a real sense of optimism. Syrians were celebrating in the streets. Statues of Bashar al-Assad were being pulled down. Is there still that same sense of optimism about Syria's future 1 year on?
Well, no, obviously the euphoria of liberation is, you know, is greatly attenuated and even might, you could say, be a thing of the past. But there is a reality in which Syrians don't live under the old dictatorship, and the new government has not acted in a way that's very repressive. So Syrians have a lot of personal freedom now, which they didn't have under al-Assad. There are real problems with communal groups in different parts of the country, but in parts of the country that are heavily populated, the major cities like Homs, Hama, Aleppo, and Damascus, it's a pretty big improvement. And I think now the question is more, what about reconstruction than personal freedom?
14 years of civil war has certainly left a big issue with infrastructure, with homes, the state of the economy, a lot of people dependent on aid. What's the state of the country right now, and what sense is there of progress that might be made on this front?
Limited progress, because, you know, the government is still sort of figuring out what it is. It's a big change, and, you know, the leader of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, who's become the president of Syria, Ahmed Sharaa, is new to this role, and so he's figuring out his role, and the whole thing is a transition in progress. It's not completed at all. But you also do have a sense that reconstruction is just barely beginning, and that because Saudi Arabia is playing such a pivotal role in the country and has the resources to help rebuild key infrastructure, like, for example, the electrical grid. Now, you know, there are constant, electrical dropouts. There's, again, with water, these basic services into people's homes are limited. They're not, you know, they're not non-existent, but they're also not what they should be. And I think there is a sense that the government is moving in the direction where reconstruction can begin. So it's hope without euphoria.
Tell me more about Ahmed al-Sharaa as the new president. How is he shaping up? What is the population making of his transition from rebel leader to president?
Well, I think with the exception of minority groups in the country that are alarmed in general by the prospect of a centralized Sunni Muslim-led government in Syria. Apart from that, I think there is a sense that he's about the best you could get. He has a history of working first with ISIS and then Al-Qaeda. And so there was this fear that Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, the group that he led and which led the ouster of al-Assad, might be an extremist group, and that you could end up with some sort of maybe not ISIS-like rule, but something very similar. And there's been really none of that. I guess you could say that the best you could have hoped for out of Ahmed Sharaa is that he was sort of an opportunistic guy who overstated his Islamist zeal in order to for political benefit. And I think that under such circumstances, people are relieved to discover that there's a great deal that he didn't mean in the past, and that he's really willing to look to a different role in the country, not a hardline Islamist rule at all.
He's certainly been more of the pragmatist than the ideologue that perhaps we might have expected. You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where Hussein Ibish is my guest. He's a senior resident scholar at the Arab States Institute. We're talking about the situation in Syria 1 year on from the downfall of the Assad regime. Just staying on President al-Sharaa, he's put a lot of effort into trying to win support from the international community. Obviously, he's met with President Trump a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Why has this been his focus?
Well, because Syria needs help. Syria left on its own would reconstruct very slowly. It doesn't have much to work with in terms of trade and foreign exchange. It has a bit of oil, a little bit of this and that. But basically, it needs help, foreign help, to begin to get back on its feet after 50 years of Ba'athist mismanagement by the Assads and this devastating war. So it needs external support. The first thing it needed was not just Turkish support, but Saudi support. And the Saudis have really stepped up and sort of embraced him. Then it needed desperately to get rid of the American sanctions that would have prevented international commercial interests from investing in Syria. And there was quite a big argument in Washington between an Israeli narrative that said, hold on, be very careful, don't get too close to this guy, versus a Saudi narrative and policy advice that said, no, drop the sanctions entirely, bear hug him, give him every incentive to be reasonable and cooperative. And in a very rare moment, an Arab perspective beat the Israeli perspective in Washington. And so that's what the U.S. has done. And that's really important for Syria.
Hussein Ibish, thanks very much for talking to us for this 1 year on catch-up of what the state of Syria is right now. Thank you.
Anytime.
Hussein Ibish is a senior resident scholar at the Arab States Institute.